2020 is the International Year of the Nurse and the Midwife, and with COVID-19, of course, we are all more acutely aware than ever of the critical role that healthcare professionals like nurses play. The 12th of May 2020 is the bicentenary of the birth of Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing. In 1854, the Lady with the Lamp, as she became known, led a team to the British camp in Constantinople during the Crimean War, where she reduced the death rate from 40% to 2% within 6 months. In 1859, Florence Nightingale published a book called Notes on Nursing, What It Is and What It Is Not. And she continued to advocate for safe nursing practices until her death in 1910 at the age of 90. Florence Nightingale's nursing practices were brought to Australia in 1868 by Sir Henry Parkes, the man who would go on to be New South Wales Premier and the father of Federation. Parkes wrote to Florence Nightingale asking for her help, and although she wasn't able to travel to Australia herself, she did send a small group of nurses, headed by Lucy Osborne, to improve nursing care at the Sydney Infirmary, nicknamed the Rum Hospital, because Governor Macquarie paid the builders in spirits for their work. Now, a century and a half later, the great-great-granddaughter of Henry Parkes is one of Australia's leading nurse educators. Georgina Willetts worked as a nurse for many years and is now Associate Professor and Head of Nursing Discipline at Swinburne University of Technology. Georgina Willetts, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian.
Well, look, we all, I think, know the name Florence Nightingale, and her birthday is celebrated as International Nurses Day every year. But I'm not sure that we all know the full detail of Florence Nightingale's life. Why was she the founder of modern nursing and so important in the history of the profession?
Well, she did quite a lot of significant things. One of the predominant things for me is that she brought in nursing education as a It's not as it is now, but very similar to the way I certainly trained. And it was a systematic approach. She gave nursing independence. It was very much its own entity, and I think she was a very strong advocate for that. She was also a statistician, so she brought an evidence-based practice. She introduced nursing notes, so nurses writing notes. She did patient assessment, and apparently she can also be attributed for pet therapy. It's what I have heard. Not that I know a lot about that side of her. But she had a very sort of sensible and appropriate approach to care. A lot of it was around the basic skills of hygiene and nutrition. It was also around psychological care. So the thing is, for us as nurses, we're very much into that holistic approach, and she introduced that.
Now, when you gave the Henry Parkes oration back in 2015, you introduced Florence Nightingale by saying, well, whether you're a fan of hers or not, some of her ways have left an ongoing legacy, which sort of hints at a bit of controversy. What were the reasons that you might not be a fan of Florence Nightingale?
Well, I don't know, but apparently there is always controversy around these historical figures, and I think that she probably had a reputation of being a bit of a dragon. You know, that whole matron concept is somebody who has a lot of a lot of control and a lot of discipline. So, you know, you do hear always people have another side to somebody. Personally, from what I can see, she introduced a lot of fantastic things for us as nurses, and she definitely was an advocate for the profession as we have it now today.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the story of Florence Nightingale's connection with your great-great-grandfather, Sir Henry Parkes, and bringing the nursing to Australia?
So Sir Henry Parkes contacted Florence Nightingale because the Sydney Infirmary was in a terrible state. It was dirty, squalid, it had a reputation for rats and very poor patient outcomes. So he contacted Florence knowing that her way of nursing and her way of running a hospital had such great outcomes from the Crimean War. And she was sick, and she spent quite a lot of her, after the age of about 38, she spent many of her years really not well, even though she lived till she was 90. So she didn't actually do a lot of the travelling. So she sent out Lucy Osborne, and she sent out five nurses with Lucy Osborne. And, of course, this is a very hierarchical thing. Lucy Osborne was middle class, so she, although she was one of the more junior nurses, she led them. So there was a lot of, I think there was apparently disharmony amongst them because the other nurses were much more experienced, but they weren't middle class, they were working class. So they all came out to Australia and sorted out the Sydney Infirmary. Lucy Osborne ran it as the superintendent or the matron, and she ran it independently. So Sir Henry Parkes was an advocate of her being the lead in the hospital, and that caused some disharmony amongst the doctors who thought that Lucy Osborne would work under them. So instead she worked independently. So that, for us, that's very significant because it was the start of nursing being given some independence and autonomy.
Well, in a way, that sort of reflects Florence Nightingale's experience. I believe the doctors weren't too keen on her when she got to the Crimean War and before they realised what great results she got. And it was, in fact, I think it was Florence Nightingale who insisted that the nurses work under the matron and not under the doctors and the other hospital management. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. And I think this was very much part of the Florence Nightingale system, was to have that independence and to work independently. And I think, you know, it showed very good results. But
absolutely,
it took a long time before we did gain full professionalism in Australia and across the world. Yeah, so that full recognition really didn't happen for us in Australia until 1986.
1986?
Long time after. Yeah.
Wow.
A long time after Florence.
Indeed. But Sir Henry Parkes at least did support the payment of nurses, which wasn't assumed at the time.
No, it wasn't. So traditionally in Australia, it had been a much more religious. So the nuns were certainly nursing and they obviously weren't being paid. So this was seen as a vocation in those days. So it was unusual for that to occur. But it certainly was progressive. So, you know, my family think that Sir Henry Parkes was very progressive, and I certainly think he was too. And he was very much an advocate of females.
When you describe some of the practices that Florence Nightingale introduced, it seems like quite a few of them are still continued today. How significant overall, or how much of that impact of Florence Nightingale can you still observe in hospitals and in the practice of nurses today?
I think it's profound. You know, our basic nursing care is still based on many of Florence's legacy. And, you know, we think of it as being common sense, the hygiene, the nutrition, making patients comfortable, moving patients, those sort of things. They are all fundamental to what we do today. But also the assessment of patients, looking at the statistics, looking at the evidence, that's all still Florence's legacy. So it's interesting that there's so much technology, but the basics of nursing often come right back to what Florence introduced.
At the same time, your study has involved really zeroing in on the major changes in nursing practice. What have been the biggest changes? And also, is the pandemic, this sort of once in a century or so event, is that changing nursing practice as we speak?
I think for me, it's not so much that it's changing nursing practice. I think it's brought nursing practice to the forefront. I think people are seeing it. It's more overt now. This isn't the first pandemic that we've lived through, but it's certainly the most global and the transmission is so quick. I mean, there has been SARS and MERS that many of us have lived through. And, you know, our response was not dissimilar. It's just that this is so widespread and so easily contracted. But it's interesting how nursing has now really, like, you see nursing now. So the issue often for me with nursing is that we're the invisible profession. We don't have a voice. We're not heard. And this year we're sort of out there. People are starting to see us. You're starting to see the nursing leaders on television. There's the image of nursing is changing. It's much more positive. So I think our work isn't changing. I think that hopefully our image is changing. And, you know, my hope is that we then start to become more included in policy development and government proceedings. You know, we usually are quite invisible, even though we make up more than 50% of all healthcare workers. And nurses, to me, are like icebergs. You're only seeing a fifth of what they are actually doing.
And I'm sure Florence Nightingale would be saying aye, aye to that. Georgina Willetts, thank you so much for joining us today to mark not only 2020, the International Year of the Nurse and Midwife, but also the bicentenary of Florence Nightingale's birth, which is also Nursing Day all around the world. Thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian.